Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today is winter diversions, specifically film festivals. The snow may be deep, the temperature's low, but for those who don't like to ski, Anchorage offers, or maybe if you do like to ski, Anchorage still offers two wintertime film festivals that promise to transport us to places and ideas we might never go on our own. We've got the program directors of both film festivals on the show today, so get out your dance card and prepare to fill them with suggestions from the people who know what you need to see. Welcome to Jim Parker, the program director for Anchorage International Film Festival. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming. And Steve Alvarez and Philip Blanchette are both here from the Indigenous World Film Festival. Hi, Stephen and Philip.
Hi.
Quokka.
Say that again.
Quokka.
Oh, I really like that. Okay. A little ways into the show, we're going to invite Steve Offrecht on the show by phone. He's a very popular blogger here in Anchorage who has covered the Anchorage International Film Festival for about 5 years independently. And you can learn great information from him. So we're going to have him on for a few minutes, a little ways into this first half hour. So let's get started. What we want to do is let our listeners know what they have to see, what they cannot afford to miss this December and this January. So let's get started. I'm going to go over to the folks from the World Indigenous Film Festival, Stephen Alvarez, Philip Blanchette. When is your festival?
Our festival is Friday and Saturday, January 17th and 18th. It begins Friday evening, 6 o'clock. We have traditionally had a Meet the Filmmakers reception. So there's
some food.
Food and beverage and a chance to hang out and meet the filmmakers. And then we start screening films at 7 p.m. and go until whenever they're done, usually 11, 11:30.
A full night.
It's a full night, yeah. And there's a number of shorts and features and music videos. It all, you know, depends on the programming for throughout the year. And then the following Saturday, we start about 10 o'clock, 10:30.
The next day,
In the morning.
So and not too early, no 8 a.m. shows.
No. 8 a.m. is not...
The building is not open at 8 a.m.
I'm not awake at 8 a.m.
Yeah, we wouldn't be there. Programmers would not be there.
You can wait in your car, folks, but we'll be along at 10.
We show films all day through the afternoon into the early evening. Then we usually take a break about 6 o'clock and let some of us uncross our eyes a little bit and then go start again for the evening and go till about 11:30.
I have lots of questions about your film festival. I forgot to give out our phone numbers. Bad me. So if people want to ask our program directors any questions, here's the numbers to call. 550-8433 in Anchorage or 1-888-353-5752. Outside of Anchorage, or you can send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So let's talk about the theme of the Indigenous World Film Festival. And also, you guys are 10 years old this year.
This is going to be our 10.
Yeah. So I didn't know it had been going. I knew it had been going on, and I haven't been over to it, but I did not know it was a whole decade, which is really amazing. Have you kept it about the same size?
Pretty much. We average anywhere from 1,000 to 1,500 people that come over the course of the weekend. We have shown anywhere from 17 to 22, 23 films over the time period. It's always at the Alaska Native Heritage Center. We have two sites that screen the film simultaneously. One is the large gathering place room. We bring in a big 40-foot screen. I don't know how large it is.
And curtains, right?
And curtains, yeah. We cover up the windows and we do everything we can to make it so that it works for daytime. Of course, you know, sun goes down about 4 o'clock. Yeah.
So it's not much of a problem in the winter.
Right. And then we also have the theater, which seats about 90 people. So it's pretty much been very consistent over the course of the 10 years or 9 years. And
are you having a birthday cake?
I don't know.
That's a good idea.
That's a good question. Yeah.
Go ahead. Have
tip.
A birthday.
I like it.
So now I went on your website and I saw your dates, but I did not see your films. And I understand you're still securing exactly what you're going to do, but you've got a lot that you're really interested in. So, Philip, do you want to jump in here and tell us a little bit about what you're looking at for programming?
Yeah, we have a wide array of films from, you know, all over the world. Not every inch of the world, but we have films from, of course, Alaska and Alaska Native films. And that's one of our main goals, is to showcase Alaska Native stories, filmmakers, and encourage more films to be made. And so we're going to be highlighting four films at our festival this year.
And you know them for sure?
Yeah. One of them is the history of Inupiaq Project Chariot. And Ooh. It's a documentary. And it had been screened, I think, at the Anchorage Museum. And but we haven't screened it at our festival. So we're really excited about showcasing
Why
that.
Why don't you tell people a little bit about Project Chariot if they don't know? It's a bit of... dark history in Alaska's.
Yeah.
It didn't actually happen, but.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or we wouldn't be here today.
Yeah. And in one of the most beautiful communities I've been to up north in Alaska is Tikirak in Point Hope. And it's just it's a wonderful community with really strong traditions. And that's the site where they wanted to do this nuclear bomb testing. And so this documentary is made by Rachel Edwardson, and she's a very passionate Inupiaq filmmaker from Barrow, and she makes some very serious works. And I haven't seen it, and I'm really excited to see.
Is it relatively new? I know you said it was screened at the Anchorage Museum.
I think it is pretty new, because I was talking with Rachel, and I forgot to ask her two important questions. One, how long it is, and when it was actually finished. And there's not a lot on there on the internet. So if you can go online right now and try to find out those,
you can call in and give us the answer
and let me know, because I need to fill that into our programming.
Listen, list our listeners here.
But you know, yeah. we don't. Those are details. We know that we want it. So that's the main thing.
That sounds great. That sounds really
yeah,
great.
Yeah, so we have other documentaries from Alaska. We have films from New Zealand. Those are a really big hit. They have, over the years, have produced incredible films, short films, mostly that we've screened, that are featuring Maori culture. But they're really well-made films. But we have a documentary also from Hawaii and from Samoa, a feature, which I'm really excited to see. That's called The Orator, and it's a beautiful film. We have the features that we're really excited about this year is Maina, and this is a feature from Canada, and it's an incredible story. I've had the pleasure of seeing this film, and I can't wait to share it here in Anchorage and to see people's faces and to hear the dialogue after it's made. It's so beautiful.
Is it uplifting or is it challenging?
It's just epic.
Epic.
It's an epic film.
Okay.
So we're really excited to show.
And it's a feature.
It's a feature film. So, so I just secured the rights for that, and it hasn't had its. It's from Canada and hasn't had its Canadian premiere yet, and so we feel very lucky to
Oh yeah.
Have it.
Well, I feel lucky to have you guys on the show, because people are hearing for the first time some of this great material that you're going to have at your film festival, January 17, 18.
Yeah.
Wow, that is fantastic.
And so, of course, there's so much more, and a lot of shorts and features and documentaries. Yeah. And so, but all the films are, like we said, either made by Indigenous people from around the world, or they're featuring stories and content at the Alaska Native Heritage Center that we feel are important to share with our audience.
Is that about values? What would you say? What your mission? Go ahead and describe it, and why this film festival fits your mission.
Well, you know, it's pretty broad, and it's basically just to get the voice out, and almost kind of speaking from a first person narrative to so that it's not something that we're spoken about as far as our stories. It's something that we're speaking through to people and connecting with people, and also stories that are pretty contemporary, but are featuring Native American or Indigenous people on screen. And it's definitely something that I know is really inspirational and motivational for our, you know, me as an Alaska Native person here in Anchorage to see that and say, oh, you know what, I want to be in a film and have those aspirations, or I want to tell my story, mm-hmm. and I want to be involved with an incredible art form, and try to see if you can make that happen. So So things, you know, things are pretty motivational, inspirational, cultural.
Right. You know, storytelling is a big part of indigenous culture. It you know, we had strong oral histories. We didn't have written languages. It was how we taught. It was how we kept our history intact. And filmmaking now is just a modern approach to storytelling. It allows the story to be expanded. It amplifies the story.
It provides, scale it up.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And which is why the film festival was created, so that it gave us an opportunity to take our stories and reach a bigger audience.
Yeah.
And then it's primarily we want to inspire Alaska Natives to get into the genre and work within the film.
One of the first that I heard about, I think, was Andrew McLean. Now, that might not be the mm-hmm. first, but it was one of the first I was aware of. And I believe he's been, Jim, has he been in the Anchorage International Film Festival? His, The Hunter, or I'm trying to
Seal Hunting with Dad.
Yeah.
He had...
Snaring Madman, yeah. On the Ice.
Yeah.
Sukumi.
Do you know if those have been, Jim? Don't know?
Those names sound familiar, but I'm...
You're not sure.
It might have been before my time.
But they've been historically in the Anchorage Film Festival. So, but anyway, he's a name that I remembered. And do you see evidence that actually young people are gravitating toward this? I mean, the tools are out there. I mean, the tools are much more democratic now than they ever were.
And affordable.
And affordable, yeah.
Yeah, true.
There's a lot of young people that are doing... you know, this kind of work, you know, the way kids now are raised, they're raised with this technology all around them.
Yeah.
You know, they get into it at a very early age. And by the time they're in middle school or high school, you know, they're creating films. And I remember when I was that age, it was such a big process to have an actual film camera.
A giant camera.
Yeah, and to go through that whole process, it was only the geeks that did that. You
and
know?
Now people and, have
and
a phone.
And we still have geeks today from Alaska who are going off to film school and coming back to Anchorage and really creating, you know, professional works and in the Native community like Andrew McLean, but also people that I know participate strongly in the Anchorage International Film Festival, like Electric Igloo, and there's so many other up and coming Alaskan people who are making these beautiful films and you know, I know that we focus a lot with Alaska Native, and we want to inspire Alaska Native people to make films, but also non-Native people in Alaska to work together and to work with the stories that we have, because, you know, to think about it, we have these stories have been going on for, this is our history, Alaskan history, thousands of years. And so it's such a important well of stories and content that, you know, deserve to be told and to work with. And mm-hmm. so we hope that, that, you know, it's nice to be here with the Anchorage International Film Festival, and because it's nice to work together. Together as a community.
It's kind of a nice idea, actually, to have you both on the show. I mean, I didn't really think about it, but here you are, two film festival entities, but I don't know that you've had much interaction, really.
No, we haven't.
I want to go to Jim, just because your opening film, Icebound, is an Alaska story, which is kind of unique for the Anchorage International Film Festival, right?
Yes. I think traditionally our opening night film has been a feature, mm-hmm. At least the last I've been going to the festival for 10 or 11 years, and I don't remember it opening with a documentary. So we're really fortunate. Icebound, I got an email from the director saying that, describing his film, and the film is, of course, about the 1925 Sarum run from Nenana to Nome, which is well known, and Steven Spielberg made a movie about it, which you find out from this documentary doesn't get all the details exactly right. I won't spoil it, but you find out that Balto is not the real hero. Togo is the real hero.
There should be
a statue of Togo in Central Park.
Okay.
But it's a great documentary with wonderful footage, archival footage, and it's about a lot of things. It's about the Sarum Run itself. It's about tabloid journalism in Alaska in the early part of the 20th century. It's about racism in Nome, and I think a lot of people are going to be surprised at some of the information they find out about the fact that, I didn't know this, in the early part of the 20th century, there was ordinances in the books in Nome that said Alaska Natives couldn't live in the city.
Could not live in the city.
The city of Nome. You were welcome to shop there, of course.
Take your dollars.
Right. But it's a very honest documentary that I think everybody is going to find. I can't imagine anyone find it boring, and I think it will appeal to everybody. And we're excited because some of the people who participated in the film are coming. Some descendants of survivors of the diphtheria epidemic are going to be there. And one actual survivor who must be in her 90s, a woman who lives now in Juneau. So there's something for everybody, and I think we'll. And I should mention that's not just plain opening night. Mm-hmm. Opening night's going to be very crowded. But Icebound is also showing two other times, and that is on, on the 7th, which would be Saturday at 1:00 at the Inlet Tower, and the filmmaker's going to be there. They're going to show the film. And then people have a chance to talk to the filmmaker, question and answers. And then finally, on the 15th, the last day of the festival at 2 p.m. in the museum. So there's more than one opportunity if people can't get in.
Yeah. Let's give a little grounding on the Anchorage International Film Festival. The Indigenous World Film Festival is more intimate. It's 2 days, single venue at the Alaska Heritage Center.
Alaska Native Heritage Center.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I knew I didn't say that right. And it's quite different at the Anchorage International Film Festival. It's kind of all over town in a way.
Well, yes. Yeah, we have a lot of venues, and it's sort of complicated to schedule all that. But
yeah. And you begin Friday, right? This Friday.
Friday's our opening night, correct. Yeah. And that's at the Beartooth.
And you go through the 15th.
And we go through the 15th.
And, I mean, there's just, actually, I'm going to bring on Steve Offrecht just because your festival is big and complicated, and one of the things I've really appreciated about Steve is his kind of guides to the film festival, and I think he's done a really wonderful job. So let's see if he's with us. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Thank you. If folks don't know who Steve Offrecht is, he has a blog called What Do I Know, and he covers two big topics on there. One is redistricting, and the other is film festival, the Anchorage International Film Festival, and the twain do not meet, so you won't read a blog post about redistricting and then one on a movie, right? So it's very...
There'll be a movie on the redistricting at the film festival.
Oh, no. Tell me. I did not know that.
In the future.
Okay. Are you going to make it?
No.
Okay. Anyway, Steve, I introduced you by saying I've really appreciated your guidance to the film festival. And I know you've been blogging since about 2007, specifically on the Anchorage International Film Festival. Am I right about that?
Yes.
What drew you in, and why did you decide to become a guide to the festival?
Well, I always liked film, and I retired in 2006. I think it was 2006, actually. And I retired, and it was the first time I could actually get a pass and go to a bunch of films because I didn't have to grade finals and papers.
Uh-huh.
And so I came out of the first film, and it was an Italian film, and the filmmakers were right there, and they were sitting around joking, and I had my little camera in my pocket, and I pulled it out and did a videotape of them and posted it on my blog. And then I went, oh, I can do this. So I just kept doing more of that, and then the festival found me and said, hey, we want you to do that next year, too. And that's how it happened. And basically what I was doing was trying to figure out how I would negotiate the festival and navigate around and figure out what was good. And so as I was finding things out, I just would post it on the blog.
Right. I think that's really, really helpful. I remember early on in the film festival, I was still working over at the Anchorage Daily News, and I think we got the task of laying out where all the films were, and it was so big and so hard. And I mean, I think that's probably the nature of a film festival. I don't think our film festival isn't doing a good job of it, but it's just a challenge. And so I know right now on your blog you've got little teasers to the features and the documentaries, and in particular the ones that are in competition. And I wonder if you and Jim could tell us a little bit about what it means for films to be in competition. Is that a voting that's going to go on by viewers, or has that, what does it mean?
Well, there there are films that are selected by programmers. I mean, once selections are made by the different programmers for the different categories about what films are going to be shown at the festival, then the programmers also make a determination of what the best films are, the best five or six films, and it depends on the program, which is very hard to do.
Yeah.
And then they are shown to a jury who, people who have volunteered to do that jury service, and they're...
Jury duty,
a less onerous kind of jury
film
duty.
Film jury duty.
Yeah. You don't have to show up at 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then they will make a determination of what the top three films are, which we keep secret.
In each category?
Yes. In features, in documentaries, in short documentaries, and yes, in all of them. We haven't had the animated jury yet, but mm-hmm. we're going to. So, and then there's also for feature-length films, whether they're documentaries or feature narratives that are 70 minutes or more, there's something called audience choice. And a lot of people have been to the festival before will remember that they've been given a piece of paper and then they're supposed to
tear it. But everyone wants to rate on it.
Yeah, tear it, say whether, and there's a place in lines that say wonderful, superb, excellent, abysmal. I don't know exactly what they say. But then there's something called audience choice. And often the audience choice determinations are different from what the jury determinations are.
That's great. So I still am a little fuzzy on what does it mean that it's in competition. I still don't know what that means. I think I saw on Steve's blog.
It means that there's going to be a determination by a jury as to whether it's going to get a jury award.
Okay, so there are
like
jury awards.
The Cannes Film Festival, you get the Palme d'Or. Ours is called the Golden Ussaker.
Right. And there's one. There's just one Golden Ussaker?
There's one Golden Ussaker given, but then there's a runner-up Ussaker and then
okay.
a second runner-up Ussaker.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so that's what that means.
Right.
And they're in each category, too.
Right. So each category gets a winner, basically,
correct,
and a runner-up.
Right.
Okay. So now I understand. And I wasn't sure whether that was part of the People's Choice Award or...
That's a separate deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things I picked up on Steve's blog was, I think this is the feature films, that there were 88 that you were looking at. Does that sound like the right number?
I think we looked at about 45 features this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a lot of features.
Yeah. I mean, it may seem like...
Maybe that was docs.
Maybe that was docs.
Yeah, because there could be shorter documentaries.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they range from 5 to 2 hours.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So the point I was making was the volume of what you have to look at and screen. And I also learned from you, Jim, that you also go out and solicit. You don't just let the waves bring in what it brings.
Well, we try to do that. It's hard, but I think that. And I have done that while I've been a programmer in past years. You're going to get a lot of films submitted because our festival's known and it's on the festival circuit.
It's like 12 years old, right?
13 years old.
Okay.
But there are, for instance, with documentaries, there's festivals that are specifically devoted to documentaries, and you can go to the websites and you can read. And for me, that's tremendous fun. That's,
mm-hmm.
I'm weird, but I like to go to websites and read about films, and then you
imagine
can,
that you.
And then I can, then you know, with the internet now, you can instantly find reviews and you can compare them, and it's been a tremendous amount of time. My wife would say waste of a lot of time, but for me, I think it's valuable and important.
Does the film festival website include those reviews, or just a little?
No, but
intro?
There are ways that with this, what we have there's. On the website, you will see something called Festival Genius. I'm a low-tech kind of person, so I don't completely understand Festival Genius, but you can, if you go to our website, at the top, you can go to Festival Genius, and then you can pull up a schedule, and then you can pull up, type in the name of a film. You'll get a description of the film, and then you can find out when it plays. So it really does help people to use Festival Genius to negotiate the film festival. It's a lot easier, really, than looking at the schedule, especially if you find that you can't make. You see a film, if you've heard about a film and you want to go, but it's maybe on a Sunday and you have to be at church at that moment, and you don't know when it's playing next. The Festival Genius will tell you that it's on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. So that's a big tip. If people don't know about Festival Genius, they're going to want to know.
And
about
people
that.
Can do their own reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, have you read any?
I don't like to give out all this privacy, acknowledgement thing. So I said they wanted too much information from me.
Okay.
So I don't put reviews on there.
On the film festival website.
But people who are not as concerned about privacy can do a review themselves, right?
Yeah.
I see.
So the Facebook generation.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you sign up for it, then you can, put the films that you want to look at onto a list and things like that so that it keeps track of them for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I want to ask you, what are some of your best tips? I mean, I have a feeling it's going to be related to getting to sit next to a filmmaker,
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a couple things that, and someone asked me that a couple of years ago, and I did a post, and you can get to it from the tab that has the Anchorage International Film Festival 2013 on the blog. But, I think one, if you don't know what you're, if it's just way too much, and it is, you can just go to the ones that are in competition. At least that, look at those and figure out which ones you want to see from there. The other is to find out which ones have filmmakers, and I just got a list today that there should be, that they've confirmed about 17 filmmakers that are coming, or 18. Because then you have a chance to talk to the people who made the film. You can ask them why they did it, how they did it, what's their next film, and learn a lot. And the filmmakers, the filmmakers are here. They want to get connected with their audience because they want the feedback. So they're more than willing to talk to so-called ordinary people who saw the film. They want to know how you liked it or didn't like it or what you would want to change. So don't be shy about going up to the filmmakers and talking to them afterwards.
That's interesting because people might be intimidated by that.
No, I agree with that too. Uh-huh. I made friends two or three years ago with an Australian filmmaker who come up here, and I'm still friends with him and I communicate with him regularly.
That's great.
Filmmakers are really interested in talking to people in Anchorage, and they find this a fascinating place. Especially if you're from Australia. You've never seen snow.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, I was talking to a young, he teaches writing, and he was really overwhelmed by the storytelling voices that he was hearing in his college class. They were strong storytellers, and they might not have spelling and grammar down, but they've got storytelling down. And he thought it was an Alaskan trait. He came from Florida, and he's only been here a few months. So I'm wondering whether filmmakers hear that in the responses also, or the response to their stories. But anyway, Steve, let me know, what else would you like people to know about, since you're on?
Some of the other things, if you go to a feature and it's no good, you've sort of committed yourself for this whole long thing, or at least your money. And so one of the options is to go to the shorts, because then, if you don't like the one that you're seeing, it's going to be over in a few minutes, and there'll be another one and another one, and you're sure to see some exciting ones in there. So the different shorts programs, the animation program, those are all available. And, of course, then there's the free stuff, which basically is the family stuff on Saturday the 14th, 13th or 14th.
Library. 14th. At the library?
At the library at LUSAC. And I would recommend those. Some of the films that are in competition will be there as well, some of the shorts. Though I do want to warn people, as Jim did on Monday or on Tuesday when he was on Talk of Alaska, that Lion Arc is, which plays afterwards and is also free in the library, is not probably suitable for small kids. It's got some pretty violence against animals by trainers and owners that is disturbing.
So people shouldn't be confused that because it's free, it's part of the family.
Well, and it's also at LUSAC, so mm-hmm. it's right after the family stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's after the family program, but we made a point of, if you look at the schedule, it says PG-13, because Steve's right, it's about, the theme is rescuing circus animals from Bolivia, and it's very exciting, but there's mm-hmm. scenes that I would want a little kid to see.
Right, right.
And I got to see this film when I was down in L.A. just now, and it's really a good film, and I have some video of the director and the producer, which I'll put up next week when it gets closer to when their film is up.
So, Steve, would you hang on a little bit? We need to take a little break right now,
sure.
But I still want to hear more of your tips. I mean, I feel like you're independent of the film festival, but you're really an enthusiast and you really know a lot. And I feel like if people are going to try to navigate the film festival, you've got a few good tips. So we'll be right back, and we'll talk with you a little bit more when we come back. You're listening to Hometown Alaska, and I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy.
You're listening to Hometown Alaska from Alaska Public Media. The program repeats tonight at 9 p.m. on KSKA Anchorage and will not be taking phone calls. You can find Hometown Alaska on iTunes or listen at alaskapublic.org.
Welcome back to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. And the first half hour here, we've been talking about two wintertime film festivals that we have in Anchorage. The Anchorage International Film Festival starts this Friday, December 6th, at the Beartooth with a gala grand opening and an Alaska film called Icebound. It goes through the 15th. And there's another film festival in January that's just a little less known maybe, but it's been around almost as long as the Anchorage International Film Festival. It's called the Indigenous World Film Festival. It's at the Alaska Native Heritage Center. And we have program directors from both of those festivals here in the studio. And we also have Steve Alfrecht on the phone, who's just giving us a few consumer tips on how to navigate something as complicated as a robust film festival. So I'm going to toss out our phone numbers one more time for our listeners and then get a few more tips from Steve. If you're in Anchorage and you want to ask about either one of these festivals, or you have a question for Steve Alfrecht, the blogger who's been doing such a fine job covering this festival, you can give us a call at 550-8433. Or outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752. Or send us an email at hometown@alaskapublic.org. So, Steve, I want to keep you on just another minute or two and get your final tips for squeezing the most out of the Anchorage International Film Festival.
Well, I'm going to put up, you know, what's going on today, every day, just as a last-minute guide. The other thing is, you know, for people who have passes, you can just sort of jump in anywhere, because I find in the past I've gone to things I wasn't planning to go, but they were right there, and they turned out to be great. I think there are a couple of the documentaries, the McConkie one, and then there's one about mountain climbing, and I think that those are probably going to be big. Lots of people going to them. It's going to be hard to get in at the Beartooth. Go early and get in line early if you want to see them at the Beartooth, especially if the filmmaker's going to be there, and they will for McConkie. Like, that's Saturday night at the Beartooth at 8 o'clock, which is the prime time, and it's going to be the most crowded.
So Steve, what is early? Is that 7? Get there at 7, or is that get there at 6:45?
Get there by 7, probably. I mean, get your tickets. Go in advance and get the tickets, or they might be sold out for these kinds of movies. Though it will be shown again at 6:30 on Wednesday at the Alaska Experience Theater, and that's where it's going to be easier to get in. But a film like that may be crowded at the Alaska Experience Theater, too. But if you get your ticket, you should be able to get in. You just may not get as great a seat. but get the ticket in advance.
Mm-hmm. And you can go in the afternoon and get a ticket?
Yes, but unfortunately, Steve, the director of McConkie just canceled on us yesterday.
Oh, too bad.
So that we are, that's unfortunate. But McConkie's a great documentary, and I think it will be
it's
crowded.
It's a daredevil kind of...
It's about an extreme skier and a base jumper, which I knew nothing about, but it are people who jump off of really tall places and with parachutes and...
Somehow land.
Somehow do it, but I won't tell you anymore because then I'll give away the...
Yeah.
And I would strongly recommend the documentaries. Lion Arc is really good. There's one called Himalayan Gold Rush about people that go out and find herbs in the mountains every year. There's Harlem Street Singer that looks terrific. Grand Rescue is about a mountain climbing in the Tetons back in the 70s and a rescue. Forever is about people who freeze dry or whatever their pets after they die and keep them forever. And then there's a film called Backyard, and I'm just going through the ones that are in competition. There's ones that aren't in competition that I'm sure are also good. But the Backyard is a lady interviewing her parents, who were conservatives until they started fracking across the street from them. And so it's a very personal looking story. And then there's the anyone who is looking for a new kidney, there's Tales of the Organ Trade, which looks at the selling and buying of kidneys around the world and raises all the moral issues about regulating the sale of kidneys or whether they should only be donated. It's a really well-made film. I've been impressed with all the stuff. And there's one short that I have seen, and that is called Real Life. And it's a British one, and it's only in Anchorage will be the second time that it's been shown. It was shown in L.A. a couple weeks ago. It'll be shown in Anchorage, and then, only then, will it be shown in London, and it's a British film.
Could I interject?
Sure.
The filmmaker for Real Life will be attending the festival as well.
Ah.
So I lobbied him hard to come up here.
Uh-huh. So, Steve, it's great. We have a link to your blog on alaskapublic.org. It's called What Do I Know? And so it sounds like every day beginning Friday, you're going to kind of have some coverage on your blog.
Okay, I'll cover what's going on, but I'll try and put up on the page that's up on the top that says AIFF 2013, just sort of a guide of things that look good for the day.
Well, that's wonderful. It's a great, I mean, we've got the festival genius, but we've also got an independent blogger who's also reacting to the festival and offering tips. So, Steve, I hope to see you out there.
Oh, you will.
Okay. Then thank you so much for taking a little bit of time and sharing some of your expertise with us.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I appreciate
Bye-bye.
It, Steve. Bye-bye. I wanted to jump back over to the Indigenous World Festival because I think this idea of some of the filmmakers coming is, how do you find that with your audience? Do you do that? Maybe you don't know what's happening yet this festival.
Yeah, we've done that for every year. We bring in anywhere from 4 to 8 filmmakers to introduce their films and talk about the process.
Do you get the same reaction? I mean, do people gravitate to them and are...
Yeah, oh yeah. And you know, one of the things that I've always found really interesting when I watch a film, like at home, is the backstory.
Yeah.
You know, all of the extras that are part of the DVD that you can buy.
The outtakes.
Yeah, and I think people are very interested in knowing or hearing some of the small little tidbits of information or the backstory. Or
what it took to get
this
movie made.
Yeah, what motivated or what happened on this particular day when they were filming this scene. And and it really, it helps, add more to the film, brings the film more to life, I think, than just watching the story
itself. It's engaging. You're less a passive watcher. Now you're getting some of the inside details, and it's fun. It's really,
And I think it's one of the things that festivals can really promote is, you know, getting an opportunity to meet meet the filmmakers and have the filmmakers come out. You know, when you go to a big commercial showing, it's next to impossible to have somebody like that.
But, well, the difference between going to like Century 16 and going to one of these little intimate film festivals, it's just a world of difference. And the chance that you might actually see somebody involved in that film is really, really an opportunity. If you just joined us, I'm sorry, Stephen Alvarez is here and Philip Blanchett from the Indigenous World Film Festival. In the studio, we have Jim Parker, who's also program director for the Anchorage International Film Festival. I'm going to throw out our numbers. I think people just want to listen to you guys today. So, but in case anybody has any questions about how to negotiate their pass, or by the way, we want to let folks know that the festival at the Alaska Native Heritage Center is free. Yeah. The festival at in Anchorage International Film Festival is $8 a movie, I think, Jim, right?
Yes.
Generally $8
generally,
a movie.
Yes.
But you can buy a pass for $100 that gets you into every film.
Sounds like a deal.
Yeah. I mean, you could.
Although it's probably good for me to say that if you have a pass, remember that you need a ticket, because they need to keep track of that. So sometimes people get in they have a pass, they get in line, and then they find out. When you go to the venue, then you show them your pass, then they give you a ticket.
You have to get a ticket. So even if you have a pass, you must get a ticket. And you have to do it on the same timeline as everybody. In other words, you have to get there early to get your ticket, right? You don't get...
No. If you showed up at the last minute with your pass and enough people have already gotten their tickets, then yes, you could be left out.
You're not going to be bumping somebody that doesn't have a pass. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the number is 550-8433. I want to go back to the Indigenous World Film Festival and ask whether there are workshops at yours, because I'm thinking inspiration is one of your missions, and I wonder, have you gotten into any filmmaking workshops yet over there?
We did a film scoring workshop a few years ago, but not really. It's just been hard enough putting it together, you know, to add one more thing to it. So we were just fortunate that year that one of the filmmakers did, you know, that was his thing. He had rescored a silent movie. I think it was the silent movie Last of the Mohicans. And
yeah.
And he happened to be a Mohican himself, so he did a workshop.
A little workshop on it,
yeah.
Well, that, you know, it might be something you grow to, but before we were on the air today, Philip was saying, I can't imagine, if Stephen ever tells me that this is a week-long festival, I'm getting another job. So, let's see, I think people are probably pretty interested and want to hear and write down the don't miss things from both festivals. So I know we talked a little bit early what's coming, but I think we should run through it a little bit, Philip.
Well, I think ours is a little easier since it's just two days, and it's actually, I would say, a day and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday the 17th, don't miss that day.
That's a don't miss, yeah.
Because it's when our festival begins, and we're going to have filmmakers there.
There's a reception, and we usually try to, you know, have one of the main features for that evening.
And this year, one of the films that we're going to be showing is called The Lesser Blessed. Mm-hmm. And it's a very beautiful film. It's by Anita Doran. And one of the supporting male roles in that film is... We're talking with him, looking at his schedule to come on down, and we in the past we've brought producers of films, we've brought directors, of course, but we also like to bring the stars, the actors, because, you know, it's very exciting when we get to see the real life movie star.
Yeah. And it's that mission of telling our own story. It's not someone else sitting in and telling the story. It's actually
exactly.
Yeah.
So. And so. Kiowa Gordon is one of the star actors in the film, and he was actually one of the wolves in the trilogy, the Twilight trilogy. So
oh.
He was a real life wolf, or his in the saga. So
oh man,
so he really nice guy. A lot of our in the past the filmmakers or our invited guests are so excited to come to Alaska for the first time.
I bet.
But then to come to an intimate place, a venue, where the community is just so very nurturing in a way, and just really genuinely interested in the whole experience. And I think that's what a lot of these people in the industry that we've brought down or brought up really notice and take away, and they just really appreciate it, and we appreciate them. It's just a great, it's a great event in that way of just mutually appreciating each other.
Well, I think about January. I'm always out of money in January. It's still dark. I don't have enough money to go to Hawaii. And so having something wonderful like that to look forward to just excites me a lot. So and it feels very Alaskan, something very original and organic from Alaska that we would have this Indigenous World Film Festival here. So are there Indigenous festivals around the world? Do you guys visit them?
Yeah. And I think Philip was just in San Francisco at the American Indian Film Festival. The National Museum of the American Indian has a film festival. There's Imaginative in Toronto. Mm-hmm. There's the First Nations Art and Film Festival in Montreal. There's a number of smaller ones that happen throughout the
sounds like
United States.
New Zealand might have.
New Zealand, yeah. It's my dream is to go there. I've never been to New Zealand.
You haven't been sent yet to New Zealand to check out films.
But their films are just incredible. They have the New Zealand Film Commission that I don't know if you guys have screened their films, but it's just their support of films is just top notch. And also they're very dedicated to showcase and encourage Maori filmmaking. And so there's just beautiful series every year of shorts that are made of serious filmmaking. Like, you know, just by seeing the very first scene, you know that this is, I don't know, maybe shot on actual film and and supported in a way that is very rare. You know, nowadays it's so easy to make films. It's so accessible with technology. But really, it's an art form. It's a very skilled art form. And the cinematography and the direction and the acting and everything, it's a collaborative effort.
Yeah.
And it's so wonderful when you see that magic come together and you're able to see it with other people. It's a great experience that we all love. And a lot of the filmmakers and people that we bring, they're independent filmmakers and when they come and they see, you know, their work, that's what I get excited about, is seeing their reaction to people reacting to their film and just seeing that human connection.
Pretty exciting. I can imagine. Yeah.
It's pretty rewarding. And also picking the film as a programmer, you probably, you know, also feel this is like you have these, you anticipate and kind of think of how people will react, which is why you are selecting the films.
You're excited about it,
and you get excited. And sometimes I'm really excited about films that people don't really respond they're not obvious to.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, did they not get it? Or
what's wrong with this audience?
I've absolutely had that experience. I've also had the opposite experience where I think, well, I'll go along with this, and everybody comes up and says, oh, that was the most wonderful movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. That's the beauty of audiences, right? They're made up of all different kinds
of people.
It's
tough to try to put yourself in the position of everybody that might be watching the movie.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
yeah.
And you always have to kind of balance it out, too, because you know, I give Philip specific directions, you know, or I actually say, these are films that we are going to screen. I've already chosen them for one reason or another. And as he's does some research on other films, because I want something that's going to maintain artistic integrity, which is what I really rely on Philip for. But I also, you know, I want films that are going to, you know, be interesting for people, you know, something that's going to hook them, to, you know, to come.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to do in Anchorage on a Friday and Saturday. I mean, there's almost too much to do. And, you know, so we have to have something that is going to say, you want to come here.
Yeah, this is a don't miss.
Yeah.
And, well, and also important themes. And like, for example, the boarding school era, there's so many, it's just such a important and story. And there's many filmmakers from all over the Americas who make documentary films and feature films on that theme.
On that topic.
And for me as a programmer, I'm like, well, let's find something new. Let's get something, you know, we've already showed films like that. And then, you know, like Steve and I will have these debates and he'll say, you know, we'll talk about, he'll mention how important, you know, this subject is. And you know that, you know, that's a good kind of shows the balance of how we
you both bring to the process.
Exactly.
Yeah. I want to jump over to you, Jim. We got a email in a question about the passes, and it has to do with whether more than one person can use a pass.
No, they're not supposed to.
And what if they have a part two to the question? What if somebody's leaving town? Is there any way to arrange that, or really, there are numerical?
I think that if you get by a pass, it's supposed to be used by you. Although no one's policing this, so I think it's between you.
The film police won't come and pull you out of the scene and say.
No one's going to charge you with theft of service.
Yeah, Steve's going to blog about you. You better watch out.
Somebody got arrested for keeping track. Stealing 5 cents of electricity. You know.
I wanted to ask a question to Philip. I'm just curious because this is one of my interests. Do you have any films from indigenous peoples living in Mexico or South American countries?
We have in the past, not this
not
year.
So much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen some that are very interesting.
You have a special Mexican consulate arranged series.
Yes, we do. And it's very good.
Is it dealing with indigenous peoples?
I do want to give them credit. This year, not. There's some short films that played at a festival in Guanajuato that won awards, but none of them are about indigenous peoples of Mexico, of which there are a number, many different kinds. But we have a documentary filmmaker. The Mexican consulate is bringing a documentary filmmaker up. His name is Carlos Hagerman, and his film Vuelve a la Vida is incredibly funny, and I think everybody's going to enjoy it. And he's given a talk at the Inlet Tower on I think Monday. Let me check.
Can you search the index for talks on the?
Yes, that's all.
That's all on the Festival Genius.
All the special events and workshops are going to be on our website.
By the way,
I didn't
cut off your question from Phil, did I? I'm sorry.
I think that I did.
I'm sorry. Let's replay that. Go ahead and ask that again. I apologize.
We have in the past, and so, but you know, a lot of. Well, it just reminded me of something else that I wanted to mention is that, you know, we do a lot of research on the films that we want to screen and also look at different festivals and attend some festivals. But a lot of it, we encourage submissions, and especially from Alaska, we encourage Alaskan filmmakers to submit their films for consideration at our festival. And
is that window still open for
it's not so much for this year. But it's definitely something that a lot of times we'll get something around this time when we're promoting it, and then we won't be able to get to it till the next year.
Uh-huh.
But we encourage submissions. So if you're out there and you're an Alaska Native filmmaker, or you're or not, and have something that you think that would be valuable for the audience at the Alaska Native Heritage Center, please send it in.
Yep. Yeah. And there's a website, the Alaska Native Heritage Center website that they can contact us. And,
okay, that's great. I do know, you brought up this idea of locally made films, and I know the Anchorage International Film Festival has something called Quick Freeze.
Yes.
And that is that sort of locally made, quick.
There's really two things this year. We had something called the Great Alaska Short Film Contest, which I think started in June. People were able to start submitting in June, and those are locally made films. Between 15 and 25 minutes, and there was a contest. And our website now has the four finalists, and we're going to be showing those four films at the Beartooth on... you know, I don't have the schedule completely in my head.
What?
I don't. Saturday the 14th at the Beartooth at 10:15, and then there's also Quick Freeze. And on November 29th, people were given three prompts for short films that they can make. So they have to have, I don't know, I don't even remember what the prompts were, but there's three things that have to be present in the films.
The film.
And they're short films. So there's a very limited amount of time to come up with the films, and the Quick Freeze is going to be, I think, at the Anchorage Community Works, which is down near Ship Creek.
A new arts venue, kind of.
Yeah.
Cool.
And let me see if I can locate when that is. Yes, it is on Friday the 13th. Ooh. And my favorite day of the festival, because I can always remember which day that is.
Friday the 13th.
Friday, yeah, it's at 9:30 at the Community Works, the Art Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
So that, so yeah, and that's, so there's two things. There's the longer films that people had more time to make. And I should mention that we have a $5,000 prize for the Great Alaska Short Film Contest.
Oh, wow. So yeah, one of those four is going to get the full five, or do you split it up among them?
I think they get the full five.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty cool.
If I'm wrong, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. Well, you also told me, Jim, that you've always had some content, you know, gay related, but that you've really stepped it up. You have a program.
There's always been a gay, it's confusing because we have our gala opening, G-A-L-A, and then we have our gay law program, which are films that are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender themed. And this year we had a programmer, Barb Brink, who did a wonderful job, and we've expanded it. So instead of just having one feature film, we now have two, and it's in two sessions. The first is at the Beartooth, and the second is at Mad Myrna's. And there's also some shorts playing with it, so we've expanded that.
So more offerings
there's
there.
There's more offerings, yeah. And including, and I'm glad we have a feature film that is lesbian-themed, because I think traditionally it's been gay-male-themed.
Gay-male. Well, we have about a minute and a half or so, and so I just like to go through each of you and leave our listeners with either a don't miss or a tip or a whatever you want off of your film festival. So who wants to go first?
Well, I would say come out to our opening reception and our meet the filmmakers reception on Friday evening.
January 17th. Mark that down on your calendar.
Doors open at 6 o'clock. And,
includes free food.
And an opportunity to see all the filmmakers that have been invited, so that you can put a name to a face and then check out what we're featuring that night.
How about you, Phil?
And then you can get the final schedule for the following day on Saturday, which will have a full day of films. As I mentioned before, Mina is the feature that we're going to be showing on Saturday night, and it is an epic film, and it's a story of a young lady, and this is pre-European arrival in the Americas, and it's of this Cree Innu tribe, and this young lady in the tribe ends up getting captured by an Inuit group of hunters and is brought to in the Inuit village, and it's of her journey in her life kind of coming to terms with
sounds wonderful.
all that happened within this experience.
My goodness, we're out of time.
All right.
You have one sentence, Jim?
To do what you asked me to do would be like telling you which one of my children I love the most.
Okay. All right. So I want to thank our guests today so much for coming in and talking about Alaska's two winter film festivals. A big thank you to our guests, Jim Parker, Program Director for the Anchorage International Film Festival, Stephen Alvarez and Philip Blanchett, both from the Indigenous World Film Festival, and Steve Alfrecht, who's a local blogger who covers the AIFF. Next week, your host will be Charles Wolforth, and his topic is Gay in Anchorage. Hometown Alaska's on the web at alaskapublic.org. You can join us on Facebook at Alaska Public. Pat Yak is the Chief Content Officer for Alaska Public Media, and Kristen Platt is our web editor and audio engineer. Thanks so much for joining us today on Hometown Alaska. I'm Kathleen McCoy.
Hometown Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants and do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Hometown Alaska's theme song, Lead Dog, is by Kevin Barnett from Eagle River. Learn more about Hometown Alaska and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.